What's that?
No, no, not at all.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for everyone coming out to the Fremont Golf Club today for our Husker Luncheon. Good to see everybody out here. And what a beautiful day to come on out and talk about some Husker football, because we've got a schedule now, which is awesome. So we've got a good speaker, which is going to join us here in just a bit. I'm Rich Ray from Walnut Radio. Good to see everybody once again. Thanks for coming out. I want to introduce a few folks. First of all, our sponsors, Freeway Car Care Center, S2 Refuse and Recycling, the Fremont Golf Club, First State Bank and Trust Company, and Dean Jacobs Adventures. Put your hands together for our sponsors, please. Also want to recognize a few folks here from the radio station. Dan Mascuello is right here. He's with the radio station as well. Barry Reeker, Chris Walls, and then also our co-owner, and she is in charge. This is Steve Saline's wife, Sue Saline, who is the owner of our Walnut radio stations. If you're looking at Sue and say to yourself, she looks familiar, yes, she was Sue Baggerly, and she used to be a reporter for Channel 6 just a couple years ago. Yeah. Just a couple years ago?
20.
20, okay, all right. So, thank you for coming out today. A couple notes before I hand it over to Steve on the local sports scene. Coming up this weekend, we have high school football. Tomorrow night, Fremont High is in action as they travel to Norfolk to take on the Panthers tomorrow. And that is a 7 o'clock contest. Fremont Tigers are 3-1 after an exciting win last week against Grand Island. If you didn't hear the end of that ball game, it was tied in overtime, and Fremont was down by one and decided to go for two and showed Tom Osborne what going for two is all about. And they were able to get it, and they defeated Grand Island 22-21, which was exciting, and it put them in the top 10 in the rankings. So congratulations to the Fremont Tiger football team. Also, the Bergen football team is 4-0 in the season, and Bergen plays at home coming up on Friday night against David City High and the Scouts. And that's at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, and that's on Mix 105.5. So both games coming up for you tomorrow. Midland is off this week, and so it's kind of a light weekend, so that's nice. But we want to talk about some Husker football. And before I get to that, I do want to let you know that our next luncheon coming up is going to be October the 22nd. We'll have more details on that luncheon coming up as well. So just be listening for that. We're really excited for that, which is going to be coming up here on October 22nd, because we got a football game on October 24th.
All right.
Yes, that's right. And let's find out more about what's going on with Husker football. Steve Sipple is here just off his motorcycle from the Lincoln Journal Star. And he's going to speak to us here today about what's going on with Husker football. So please welcome Steve to the podium.
Relatively close, I think. And
just, say again.
I think you stay relatively close and just keep it too close.
I wonder if my voice is loud enough to hide.
We'll see.
Is my voice loud enough?
We'll see.
All right, well, hi, everybody. Man, you guys look great. You never know, it's a worldwide pandemic in Fremont. It was nice. You know, we usually do these things at the Wooden Windmill, and I don't get it driving to Fremont, so it was sort of nice driving through town. It's not like I never have, but it's been several years. Thanks, by the way, to the Wooden Windmill for all those years. It was incredible. And I have always enjoyed coming to Fremont. It's not like I've had always good times here. I got knocked out. A lot of guys know I used to box, and I was telling the guys when I came in, there's a sandy-haired blonde named Anderson that knocked me, didn't knock me out, but knocked me woozy. And my mom always jokes about it, because we're here, it was a smoker in Fremont. And my mom says she always remembers it, because I kept saying when we were driving home, isn't California beautiful? I kept saying it, but she was really worried. And she's still worried. So if you ask me questions and I look like I got a blank stare, some of it's just that. I got hit a few times. A kid from Omaha hit me so hard I didn't know where I was for 3 days. So I probably got some damage. What else? Oh, you know, sometimes I say some things that are borderline inappropriate. I do have a quick story. When I was driving in, I thought of it because I'm at a country club. Now, I have nothing against Harvey Perlman. In fact, me and Harvey had a pretty good relationship for a long time, but he didn't have a good relationship with Pelini. And I was at a function with my wife at the Lincoln Country Club. Have I ever told you guys this story?
Nope.
It's pretty funny. It tells you a little bit about Pelini. He's very sharp-witted. Well, it was some sort of art show that my wife was involved with. She worked at Sheldon Art Gallery in Lincoln. And we were there, and Harvey Perlman, the chancellor, straddled up next to me and said, "Ah, Sipple, a little out of context. I don't play golf. I'm not a country club individual usually." So Harvey got one in on me, and we were driving home, and I had to talk to Pelini about something. And I told him that story, what Harvey said, and Harvey said, "Sipple, you're a little out of context at a country club." And Pelini right away said, "You should have told him that anytime you're not near a sewer, you're out of context, you brat." Well, he dropped an F-bomb in there too, but it was, you can imagine. Yeah, I always thought that was pretty funny. And I got nothing against Harvey. I hope it doesn't come off like that. Harvey really put up with a lot from me, and he's a very intelligent guy. But they did not get along at all. What else? Well, we'll cover some ground today. You know, it's been kind of, obviously it's been really strange. It's been a strange year. And it's been really strange. Now, the guys that know I'm a day-to-day proposition under the best of circumstances, so the pandemic hasn't affected me that much. But it has been, from a work standpoint, it's been difficult. It's amazing to me how many people come up and say, "Wow, it must be pretty easy with no sports." No, it's not really easy at all. In fact, what I find is you got to be really creative to try to kind of keep the ball in the air, you know. Like, just they still want 3 or 4 columns a week from me, so I got to come up with something. And I find that being creative takes a lot more energy than just going over to practice and putting a recorder in front of some kid's face and having him talk and then writing an article. So it has taken more energy, which is fine. It's been really sort of, I don't know, kind of satisfying in a way, that the sports department, we've made it through it pretty well to this point. I've worked there, for you guys that don't know, I've been there since 1990, and I've covered football full time since 95. So obviously we've seen a lot. Now, we do have a fabulous reporter that you guys, I sort of tout him sometimes. His name is Parker Gabriel. He's the best in the business. I've never worked with anybody better. He's our beat writer, so he handles all the news. And if you go to HuskerExtra.com and read him for any amount of time, you'll realize he's good. And I think he's been here for 3 years, and he's really made a big impression on a lot of people in the market. So if you don't like my stuff, go ahead and go read Parker. And it's a good staff. But yeah, it's this whole thing, as far as the Nebraska football team goes, to me, it's been fascinating to watch the way they've handled it. And I go back, what I always have in the back of my mind now as they're going forward with the season was a meeting I had with Frost, chief of staff. It was the day before the NFL draft, so it was late April. I think it was April 28th or April 27th. And I was amazed by how many guys weren't, by how many players were in town. It was involuntary workouts, but it was organized. I was struck by how aggressive they were being. And then, you know, in my role, I walked out of there and thought, well, they're certainly being aggressive. I guess as a newspaper, as a media organization, we got to monitor it sort of and make sure they're not being reckless, you know, with the pandemic and having a lot of issues, which they haven't. It's really quite an operation, and it's been very complex the way you have to handle it. It takes a lot of energy to handle 155 guys coming from all over the country, in and out of town, you know, dealing with parties. I can't imagine the job's really hard. Scott's job's really hard in the best of circumstances, but in these circumstances, it's really challenging. I mean, there's just vignettes, I would tell you. Like when the kids were coming back into town, they had left for spring ball, but then they were coming back in for when they started summer workouts in June. It was really sort of amazing. If the kids were coming and driving into town from the east, north, or south, not the west, from the east, north, or south, they were told, get gas before you get into Nebraska. Get your gas outside the state so you don't have to stop. You know, you're coming in, you don't stop. And they, you know, they're instructed to drive straight to the stadium. There's a setup on the east side, east stadium, where they get tested. So it was that elaborate. Now, if they were coming from the west, obviously they'd have to get gas. But, you know, when they would pick kids up at the airport, they would pick them up in cars with glass dividers. It didn't always go perfectly. I mean, there was a time when one kid picked up a kid coming in from Georgia just inexplicably, and of course he had to go into quarantine too. You know, they're like, what are you doing? You know, why would you go pick him up? So they have to watch it. They've watched it really close. The quarantine has been, they're very serious about it. They have a quarantine dorm. There was one kid that was in quarantine for 21 days. Their punter was just in quarantine for 21 days, but I'm talking before. And they take them everything they need. They take them food. They take them toiletries. They tell them, you can't go out. So it's really an odd, it seemed really odd, but that's what you have to do, and that's what they have to continue to do to make it work. But going back to what I said, they're in better shape than most teams in terms of organization and readiness. I mean, Scott had said a couple of weeks ago, they're 3 weeks from ready to play, from being game ready. Doesn't surprise me with how much work they've put in. I felt like they would have a market advantage over most teams. Now, Ohio State's been of the same mindset as Nebraska, so I don't know that they'll have a great advantage in terms of readiness against Ohio State, but I still think against a lot of teams, I think against Wisconsin, that their aggressiveness from the start on this, I think will pay off. We'll see. I mean, I know you guys don't want the local columnists coming up here doling out a lot of hype, but they have some things going for them that would fall under the intangible category. So we'll see how that all plays out. The schedule, you know, you guys are probably you're familiar with what Nebraska drew, and it's rough, but it's not, you know, I got to, for the first time really this week, I really delved hard into the opponents. And yeah, obviously Ohio State and Wisconsin and Penn State, three of the first four games, it's really challenging. Northwestern's in there too, that's challenging. it's challenging in a lot of ways, just not getting into personnel, just because those are such established programs. And Nebraska is not really an established program at this point at all. I mean, Scott's, it's pretty early in what Scott's trying to do. And you look at the other ones. I mean, Ohio State, I think I wrote today, they're 63-4 in their last 67 Big Ten games, 63-4. They haven't really missed a beat at all since Urban left, obviously. They're loaded on offense. I don't know if you guys were watching that pregame show when they last Saturday when they unveiled the Big Ten schedule. I had to do a double take. Urban Meyer said all 11 of their offensive players are NFL caliber players. They're not like that on defense, though. I mean, I think Ohio State will have to win a couple of shootouts if they want to be in that college football playoff. Their defense, I mean, it's obviously they just reload, but it doesn't look like, Chase Young's gone. Jeff Okuda, the corner's gone. They did get Sean Wade was going to be gone. He declared for the NFL draft and then has subsequently come back, which that's a big, big piece for them, a veteran corner at a position where they were going to be a little bit inexperienced. That helps them a lot. But you might, they look a little susceptible on defense. Wisconsin, they're Wisconsin, they're a program. I mean, when I say program, they know exactly what they want to do. You guys know the brand is so strong. I mean, you just know what you're getting all the time. And Paul Christ has won 10 games, at least 10 games in four of the last 5 years. They're not going to be far down if they're down at all. The big running back's gone, Jonathan Taylor. He's gone. Quintez Cephas, who I thought was an outstanding receiver, with the Lions now. Their quarterback is good, not great. But where they're really good, see, here's the thing about Wisconsin. And this is it seems like it's every year. They're so good up front on both sides. I mean, their defensive line could be dominant. They got what looks to me like a dominant defensive line. They got all their guys back. And they're big and good. Offensive line doesn't look like there's going to be a drop off. They have some pieces to replace. They're moving around some guys, but it looks really good. It looks like they're going to be really good up front. But they're not as good at outside linebackers. They usually are. Linebacker in general, they're not as good. On the other hand, they're really, really experienced in the secondary, and that can make up for a lot of issues. So what I'm getting at here is Wisconsin's strength is defense. They're going to be hard to deal with. They're going to be hard for Nebraska's offense to deal with. Although Nebraska played them well last year, so I mean I'd never count that as an L. Penn State is the game that probably of those three concerns me more than any of them. In fact, Penn State concerns me more than any team on the schedule, because if you watch the Cotton Bowl, they just ravaged Memphis with their run game. They ran for 360 some yards. And they lose a lot at receivers, so I think they're really, really going to emphasize the run game. And they have a savage running attack. I know they were third in the league last year in rushing, which, that suggests that maybe Wisconsin and Ohio State would be better. I don't think so. I think Penn State's the game that concerns me most because they're just going to try to hammer you on the ground. In Nebraska, I hate to say, I don't want to ruin anybody's lunch. They gave up 5.7 yards a carry. In Big Ten play, Nebraska gave up 5.7 yards a carry. And that, to me, is the key stat. That is the key element going into these first four games and really going into the season. Nebraska as a program, if I were Frost, every day I would think about that stat. If I were Eric Chenander, every day I would think about how can we get better stopping the run. Because until Nebraska can stop the run on a consistent basis, you're just looking at very average seasons. You just can't. You can't survive in the Big Ten allowing 5.7 yards per carry, especially against a team like Ohio State that has 4 and 5-star guys up front. A team like Wisconsin, who its whole reputation is being able to run the ball. Penn State, they have 4 running backs that are as good as anybody Nebraska has or better.
You're depressing me.
Don't be depressed. I'll get to the good parts.
Okay.
Thank you for yes. I mean, I think we got to know this stuff, though. I really do. They have 4 great running backs, and all 5 of their linemen have starting experience. They're rough. It'll be rough. So now Nebraska, though, I think they'll be pretty deep up front. You know, they're replacing 3 NFL guys. The Davises, both are on NFL rosters, and Darian Daniels, is on the practice squad of the 49ers. So you want to replace some pretty good players, but you're going to be deeper. Who knows, though? I mean, I don't know. A lot of those guys, you just don't, you know, Ben Stilley, we have a good idea what he's about. We have a little bit of idea what the younger Daniels is about, Damian Daniels. Although he's just been a rotational player. They have guys that have been rotational players that are now really going to have to step up and play critical roles down to down. It's really kind of hard to say who's going to be the starters. I don't know that it matters that much because they're going to rotate so much up front, which is good. You know, the linebackers got to get better. They got to set the edge. I mean, Nebraska hasn't set the edge very well for a long time. Nebraska's good in the secondary, but it's all about stopping the run. Offensively, Nebraska, I think, could be really good. I mean, that's, you all know about the quarterback situation, and I'll tell you something, what I've heard the last couple days is it is going to be a battle. I think Adrian's going to have to play well in camp to hold off McCaffrey. They got a good situation there. I just don't think it would be bad in any way to have 2 quarterbacks like that. Dedrick Mills will have to carry a pretty heavy load, I imagine. It's hard to know what you'll get from those 2 true freshman running backs, Sevion Morrison and Marvin Scott. You just don't know. You just don't know how those kids are going to react. Ramir Johnson's a good running back, but Dedrick Mills is the guy that's got to go. Omar Manning, we don't know yet. I mean, sometimes you hear he's progressing well, and sometimes it's been a little spotty at times, I think. But he's got the size that they've lacked at that position. And, you know, he could be a go-to type player, but he's got to put it all together fast. The guy I'd really watch the tight ends, Travis Vokolek, I think, is a new guy that transferred from Rutgers that will be a big factor immediately. Obviously, those returners at tight end will be big factors. The key, though, is that I think they're going to be good up front. The Big Ten, it's a lot different world than it was in the Big 12. You got to be good. You have to be good up front, and you have to be consistent up front. And they got veterans, Farniok and Hymus, and I think Juergens is ready to be an outstanding player. The left guard competition is literally 5 or 6 guys, that get probably 3 or 4 legit, that could emerge there. I think Bo Wilson will emerge at left guard. You know, he's a guy who he played hurt all last year, didn't have a great year, but a lot of it was just because he played hurt. Played hurt and didn't complain about it, but it showed. So that's, I would say I'm pretty optimistic. But it's going to be, you know, it's obviously the schedule's really, really, really challenging. Not only those first 4 games, but late in that schedule, you go to Purdue and Iowa City, those obviously aren't going to be easy games. So I'm just thrilled, though, that they're getting going. I mean, I think it was integral. I'd like to see it where you could have fans, so would Moose. We'll have to see on that. I know they won't give up on it. Even the Iowa AD is talking about maybe eventually having people in the stands. So that's that's sort of my rundown. I would be willing to open it up to questions. Keeping in mind now, now that we're in an interesting situation media-wise, in that we're not going to see practices for obvious reasons. They're not going to have a bunch of reporters traipsing over to campus anymore. You know, I don't even know that we'll. I think most of the interviews will be Zoom-oriented. I don't even know if we'll be allowed to go on the road to cover games. So it's not like I've seen a lot of these practices. You can only glean so much from people telling you what they see. And the other thing that will be interesting, I would think Frost will really be tight-lipped about talking about players. Because, you know, Ohio State won't know what's coming. You know, a guy like Alante Brown, a true freshman, who I think could be a starter at receiver, they don't know anything about Alante Brown. They can look at film of Omar Manning, but they don't know too much about Sevion Morrison. They just don't know what's coming at them. So I think that could be sort of helpful, and I don't anticipate Scott elaborating a whole lot on what's going on over there. So as a media person, it'll be somewhat challenging going forward.